All right, if you show the title screen there, we'll message is going to be called God Our Father. And by the way, this is what I had before I even knew about the video. We're going to be coming out of Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And I want to give a kind of a setting, a context here. So today we celebrate Father's Day. But I want to make sure and let everybody know my stance when it comes to this. But fatherhood, fathers, is a privilege. God has sought fit to entrust to us imperfect dads, trust me, we're very imperfect at times, the care of children. And the thing is, it's how we behave and how we take that trust and we apply it. And we want to do it in a godly manner. Now, I know there's a lot of confusion about genders and whatnot, but I'm telling you, when God made mothers and God made fathers, He made no mistakes. No mistakes. And that's my stance. That's the truth. I have to say the truth. To do otherwise would be a sin against my God. But to think though, that fatherhood is a privilege, then that means we bear, mothers too, but we bear as fathers a heavy responsibility. First of all, if our faith is real, how will you know? Well, it's going to prove itself at home. If your faith is real, the proof is in the pudding. You will see it demonstrated at home. And I guess, unfortunately for my daughter Erin, she was my first child, and a lot of the mistakes I made on her, because we grow as fathers. But I think she turned out okay. In fact, I was probably never so happy as a father than when I heard and discovered that both my children had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If anything could make my day, that was it. Anything else would be second to that. But even children have a responsibility in the home, and parents to each other. But we each have our role. Obviously, we start out as children, and we grow into that. We grow into becoming either a mother or father, and now our responsibilities will change. So we want to teach and learn how to live as Christ would have us live. So then you got to think about, well, how much of your Christian values are actually rooted in how we act toward others. In other words, it's how you treat other people will basically demonstrate your love for God. What was it was said? It said, by this all men will know you're my disciples. How? If you have love toward one another. If you don't have the love, I'm not sure how you could possibly demonstrate that you're one of His disciples. And so now we're getting ready to go into what Paul is going to address about our closest relationships. Now, we're going to overlap children, parents, fathers, and other things, but I want you to get this in context. So let's go to the first scripture, Ephesians 6 and 1. Starts out, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, already the children are probably starting to groan. Oh, here we go. He's going to preach on children behaving and all this stuff. Well, yes, but not just that. Not just that. You got to make a few assumptions in this letter that Paul is writing. The first assumption is that Paul is actually referring to a Christian home. I know it applies to non-Christian homes, but that's not who the letter was actually sent to. It was sent to the Ephesian church. So you have to assume that he's talking to a Christian congregation. The second thing you got to assume was that Paul was expecting in a Christian home that children would be present. Do you realize that in the temple, there were actually sections for different parts of the family. The women and children could only go so far in the temple, and the men, of course, would move on. Now, you can debate how fair that was or not, but the fact is they were segregated. But Paul is talking about a Christian home that's worshiping and serving the Lord together as a unit, as a family, just as he had planned. A third assumption you got to make is that the children back in that time, I know, maybe even in this time, but they were not treated or even considered as having rights. I grew up partly thinking that because I would sometimes question my mom's directions, instructions, and commands. I would say, why? Because I said so. Has anybody here heard that? Oh my, I'd say all of us heard that. Because I said so. Well, I never liked that answer, but that was it, right? We all heard it. Now, the interesting thing about this phrase, this obey your parents, the word obey, that's what trips up people in a lot of places. The word obey, it actually is the same word, and by the way, further down in this chapter, Paul talks about that association with slaves and masters, the relationship between slaves and masters. It's tough to think of it this way, but in a sense, you have to think of it this way because this word obey is the same kind of word when Paul says, slaves, obey your masters. Kids, you're slaves. Not really, but you know what I'm talking about. During that culture, kids essentially had no rights whatsoever. They had to do what they were told. They had to follow the rules and regulations set down by God in the law, which, by the way, weren't grievous, he says. They weren't grievous. The fact is, it taught something, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But this idea of behaving, obeying, is a word used for slaves. Slaves, obey your masters. Children, obey your parents. Now, there is a thing about this obey, okay? Now, but before we go to that, let me also mention that children who purposely disobey, I want to give you a warning. You are actually part of the last days group. And let me show you what I mean. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it starts out with this. It said, this know also that in the last days, what kind of times? Perilous. That's not good at all. Perilous. These are dangerous times shall come. How are you going to know? How are you going to know, Paul, if these are perilous times? Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh my, I see that every day. Covetous, they want things, they desire things that's not theirs. They're boasters, okay? They brag about everything. They're so proud of themselves. And they're blasphemers. But look at that one. Disobedient to parents, which then becomes leading into unthankful, unholy. We won't do the rest of it, but there's more to this. If you're in this group of being disobedient to parents, that is a sign of the last days. So anyway, back to Ephesians 6 and 1. Forward. Move forward, please. So this idea of children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. So obey your parents. And I know a lot of people may not agree with this part, but that's not an absolute command. How do I know? You have to think carefully. Some parents do this. But if parents were to instruct you to do something against God's law, that would be wrong. Should you obey your parents if they told you to bully somebody? You might not think that'll happen, but parents do. Parents will purposely tell tell their kids to go beat up on something or go take something that's not there. That's stealing. If you ever, or any child ever, gets told by their parents to do this thing, then it's wrong. And when it comes to breaking God's law, you're not morally obligated to fulfill that parental instruction. But for everything else, when it's not got anything to do with those extremes, children are to obey their parents. They're not to disobey. And by the way, that's the way God intended it. He set up families. He set it up for instruction, for teaching, to nurture. And so already you can see the benefits of obeying, of a home where the children obey their parents. There's usually less confusion, less aggravation, and less argument when they do what's right. Think about it when Jesus was at the temple. He was 12 years old. This is the only thing we know about Jesus when he was a young boy, was that he was at the temple and he was actually discussing and disputing with the scribes and the Pharisees about the law. And they were very curious as to how a kid his age got this kind of learning. And of course, you know, Mary and Joseph didn't know he was not in the... By the way, when they traveled like that, they had a huge crowd. It wasn't just a family vacation. It was a huge crowd that went there. And so they missed Jesus. They couldn't find him. So they went back to the Jerusalem, and I don't know how long it took, but after a good while probably, they found Jesus in the temple. And of course, he said those famous lines, "Didn't you know I should be about my Father's business?" Well, he was. But that really upset his earthly parents. We know he was the Son of God, but he had earthly parents. That was Jesus was entrusted to. But the Bible says he went down with them and he was what? Subject to them. That meant he obeyed his earthly parents. So this is right in the Lord. That's what it says. For this is right. One other thing I want to say about obeying versus honoring. Well, let's go ahead and move to the next scripture. Verse 2. Paul continues this conversation by saying, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." So the first thing for children to do is to obey. The second thing they are to do is to honor. There's a difference between those words. Obeying means doing just that, doing what you're told, behaving, okay, not being disobedient to parents. Honoring means to have respect and love. There's a lot of children, especially these days, we see, probably because we see more and more of it, that there's a loss, it seems, of respect. People, not just children, but adults even, it's almost as if there's something going on in their life to where they no longer have respect for anybody. So when Paul is talking here about honoring your father and your mother, this means to have love and respect for your mother and father, for your family. Because it doesn't just stay there. It actually transcends into the public world. As you grow up, and I've heard a lot of people testify to this, that they still maintain the values they had when they were brought up as kids. If they were brought up right. If they were brought up correctly, think back. Think back into your other childhood when, of course, I know some of us grew up when it was kind of rough, you know. If you got a spanking, it was usually it was well deserved, but sometimes it could be pretty harsh. I always felt sorry for the kids who had to go and get their own switch. Oh my goodness. I've heard all kinds of testimonies about that. But when you have to go get your own switch, you got to find that right balance, okay? You got to find, you don't want to get it too small of a switch or they will go get one. So you had to get it just big enough to satisfy whatever the beating you were going to incur. The wrath was coming down and you just wanted to minimize it as much as possible. So anyway, getting your own switch, that was always a problem. Hated that. But the fact is, honor means to love and respect. And that carries over to where you eventually you honor our Father. I thought that was a great video because it had a lot to do with how God views us. And as I read everything that was being stated there, did you notice he was putting scripture references in every location? So everything that was said on that video, there was a scripture reference to it. We maybe can provide all that. But the fact is, the whole idea between honoring your mother and your father lends itself to later of honoring God. Think of it this way, in the reverse. If you dishonor your mother and father, and you do it on a very, very regular basis, do you think you're going to honor God immediately? No. No, you learn these things as children. And a parent's job, father's job, is to be the leader of the family and teach this and nourish this. So honoring is not the same thing as obey, but they go together. And so that attitude of love and respect will not only stay in the family, but it will transfer later on to other people and the Heavenly Father. So now let's move on to verse 3. This is that promise that Paul mentions with the commandment. Now, by the way, when you read this, it's generally true. I heard even in our prayer request, sons and daughters may have already been lost already, too young in their life. But it says here, if you honor your mother and father, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I can tell you, there were times if I were to disobey my parents, it was dangerous. I mean, we all know this. Don't play with fire. Oh, okay, I'm going to go out and play with fire. Guess what? You set the house on fire. That's dangerous. So if you obey, if you honor, you won't necessarily do all those dangerous things. You will live longer just in that regard. But I think it has more to do with this. I think this is God's way of saying, you know what? You're doing exactly what I intended. So he allows you to have a longer life on earth. Every breath we take is in his hands. I know we experience tragedies. I know all this. But I'm saying in general, this is how it is. It's a promise that is generally true. So now I want to get into the heart of this message. And we're going to close on this part here in just a little bit. Verse 4. Fathers, read this scripture. Heed this scripture. Practice it. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Discipline is important. In fact, you will know very quickly when a house has no discipline. If you've ever visited places where children get no discipline whatsoever, it's chaos. In fact, I would almost go so far as to say it's probably sinful, because the scripture talks of teaching discipline. Discipline is so ingrained, it's so part of a family that we have to know how to discipline our children correctly. And so the whole part about discipline, and I used to hated to do this even when I had to apply discipline, but you explain why they're being punished. Now, that type of punishment can be all different kinds. It could be anywhere from a spanking to a simple sit down and talk, or a grounding, or take away things. But all of it is intended for what reason? To teach them a lesson. How I would have loved to have been taught better lessons than what, or maybe I should have just listened more. But the fact is, there were times I truly needed to be taught a lesson. But what Paul is saying here is if you provoke your children by overly harsh punishment, what are you doing? You're provoking them to wrath. You know what wrath is? That's when people lash out. That's when they get so mad, they lash out and they fight back. That's not what we want to do. As fathers, we don't want to provoke. We don't want to teach our children that you have to fight back on teaching them a lesson. And I used to hate it, but Deronda, I'm going to pick on her a little bit now. She would always tell the kids when they do something bad, wait till your dad gets home. You're going to know. You're going to find out. Stop that smiling. Don't smirk. Wait till your dad gets home. You're in trouble. And then I get home. What'd they do now? And now I got to be the bad guy. I'm always the bad guy, right? Fathers have that role. We're the bad guy. But even when all that happens, it may be worthwhile of disciplining them, but the fact is, she would pawn it off on me. I didn't want to do that. I didn't necessarily want to have to do that. But you know what? Paul says this in another place. Let's read it in Colossians. It says here in Colossians 3 and 21. Here again, he says the same thing. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now, the first verse said wrath. This one says anger. Very similar. But here's why. Lest they will be discouraged. I've often said this, not only to others, but to my own children, that as a parent, you actually have to set an example. Do you want your kids turning out just like you? You have to think about that. Do you want them to be just like you? Are you ornery? Are you mean? Are you selfish? Are you any of those things? Are you hateful? Do I want my kids to turn out just like me if I'm these things? Unfortunately, they do acquire a lot of my traits, which is not necessarily a good thing. But if they see me claiming to be a Christian, and I'm overly harsh, then they're going to get discouraged. Haven't you heard people say, is that what a Christian is like? I don't want to be one. I have. I've heard a lot of people say that. I've seen, and I'm doing the air quotes, quote unquote Christians, say how much they hate certain people. Well, if God loved them so much and he gave his only son for them, who are we to express so much hate toward anybody? I'm not talking about the people who are mass murderers and people like Hitler and Stalin, all those people who killed thousands and millions of people that we've actually had to go to war over. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about just people out in the general public. I read, unfortunately, just what, 2 days ago, there was actually an argument between two men at a gas station. Think about this. They were arguing. I don't even know what the argument was about. One guy took his pump, sprayed the other guy with gasoline, set him on fire. That was just 2 days ago. The man eventually died. He was burnt enough to where he died. And of course, they arrested him, but by now it's done. Do we hate people that much to where we can't even take even an argument? Now, granted, it depends on what was said. I don't know the circumstances, but the fact is they got into an argument and one person thought it was justified to set somebody else on fire. No way. No way. The love of God is definitely not in that person. So my point is, and Paul's point. So let's go back. Let's leave this. So his whole idea is about don't provoke. In other words, don't be overly harsh to your children. I know there's some parents who think that their God-given ability is to spank, to whip, to argue, to fuss, and all this to their children. They really think that's their role in life. It isn't. Discipline is a necessary thing, but it's got to be balanced. So a godly home will actually balance discipline with love. If you're going to punish a child, fathers, I'm speaking directly to you now. If you're going to punish a child, make sure it deserves the punishment you're about to mete out. Make sure it deserves that and balance it with love. Explain to them that this is not to hurt them or to discourage them, but it's to teach them. One, kids need to be taught respect. That's a thing that's sorely lacking in our society today. Kids have no respect. Same as adults, but I'm talking about fathers and children. You gotta find a balance. So a parent is not to intentionally, and you might think, well, nobody does this. Yes, they do. Parents intentionally hurt their children. In fact, here I go again. I read just another article this week where a couple, a mom and dad, were both arrested because they were keeping their children in dog cages, crates. Young children, sure, in crates. That's evil. And I'll call it that. But you don't want to intentionally harm your children. That's not your role. Discipline, the purpose of it, and we all know this, is to guide. It's to correct us. Yeah, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do things that we're just so flippant we don't even think about how it could have hurt somebody, and that deserves some kind of punishment. So you got to have discipline. So here's the thing. Parents have to do their job. The thing that truly aggravates me in one of the most ways is where parents just seem to abandon whatever their role in the family is. They just abandon it. I think part of this comes from the notion that it takes a village. Well, yes, maybe the whole village can help, but that's not who the central figures are. The central figures are the mom and the dad. Unfortunately, sometimes the dad's not there, and the mom has to assume both roles. That is unfortunate, but it happens. It's part of life. But the fact is, there's a lot of parents, and especially fathers, who just abandon their role in the family. And that's not what God intended. See, we were made, fathers, we were made in His image. He is our Father, and we're made in His image. So just like Jesus Christ was, we are supposed to be the image that we present, the image of God that we present to our children. So my question to you fathers today is, are you doing that? Are you presenting them how God would be? That's your role. That's why I say that it's a heavy responsibility. It's a heavy responsibility that you just cannot abandon. You have to do that. If you are a father today, if you don't already know it, you need to learn it. Don't abandon your responsibility. So the key is to make sure that when you do bring up your children, you bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. How are you going to know what that is? Folks, it's not hard. Read it here. Instruction book is all right here in the Bible. Read it for yourself. And the word bring up, by the way, is actually meant to nurture, to cherish. It don't just simply mean feed them and clothe them and that's it. And that's all as far as your responsibilities go. That's it. No, it's to bring them up, nurture them, and cherish them. And so when you do discipline, which that includes the actual physical punishment, but do it with love. I know it's hard to, especially when you're a child, it's hard to be on the receiving end of the punishment and think your parents are doing it out of love. That might not come to your mind until you get older. Especially when you are the one now putting out the punishment that needs to happen. You realize, oh, out of love. And I want to conclude with this. If you don't punish out of love, then punishment without love is just being a bully. parents. Punishment without love is being a bully. And the Bible teaches us that even God will chastise those whom he loves. Now, everyone, just stay in your seats for just a moment. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray, God, that you will apply them to our hearts. Help us, God, to be the parents and the fathers and mothers that you would have us to be. Help us not to provoke our children, Lord, to wrath or anger, to not discourage them in their heart. But, Lord, that you would open our eyes and balance discipline with love so that we may be full expressions of our Heavenly Father, that we may teach them in the Lord. Amen.